What you dare not hope for, that is what he gives you, said Brother Roger from the Taze community. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Then take our hearts and set them on fire for the love of the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. Now, it was in May, I think May 16th of 1966 was the date, May 16th, that the Beach Boys released Pet Sounds, which means it's only been 52 years since the world started to listen to the likes of Caroline No, Sloop John B, Wouldn't It Be Nice, and God Only Knows. And Pet Sounds was the Beach Boys' 11th studio album, and it was produced, arranged, almost entirely composed by Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson had quit touring, in fact, to focus on writing and recording. Before the rest of the band returned from their tour in Japan, Brian recruited Tony Asher to contribute to lyrics. He wanted this to be the greatest rock album ever made. Pet Sounds was received with lukewarm, critical, and commercial response in the United States, peaking only at number 10 in the Billboard 200. But in the United Kingdom, Pet Sounds was hailed by the music press and became an overnight commercial success, peaking at number two in the UK Top 40 Albums chart. So take that, Beatles. Eventually, more people, millions more, in fact, paid attention to Brian Wilson's project. Pet Sounds was promoted as the most progressive pop album ever made. It attracted serious attention for its ambitious recording and its uniquely sophisticated music. The album could not be replicated live. And it was noted that this was the first time that a group departed from the usual small ensemble electric rock band format for an entire LP. Pet Sounds was perceived as an artistic statement. As a concept album, it was crucial to the development of progressive art rock. No longer a category, by the way, during South By. But it was bringing more attention to psychedelic music in the mainstream, and it was helping to elevate rock music as a genre, forget this, listening instead of dancing. You had to listen to it. So wallflowers like me everywhere were finally giving some justification. We finally had an excuse. Pet Sounds is regarded by musicologists as an early concept album that advanced the field of music production, introducing non-standard harmonies and timbres and incorporating elements of pop and jazz and classical and avant-garde. Wilson's orchestrations mixed with conventional rock setups with elaborate lays of vocal harmonies found sounds and instruments never before associated with rock, like bicycle bells, French horn, flutes, string sections, and Coca-Cola cans. In 2003, Rolling Stone ranked Pet Sounds second on its list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. And in 2004, Pet Sounds was preserved in the National Recording Registry by the Library of Congress for being, quote, culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant, end quote. I say all of that, and I know it's a long setup this morning, because I was at HEB on Friday, and I heard God Only Knows playing while I was filling my shopping cart. I filled the whole shopping cart with what I needed for just that day. And when it was over, I had this thought, and I wanted to tell you about it. I wish I could hear it for the first time again. God Only Knows has made its way onto countless retail playlists and has long been accepted into the canon of mediocre shopping music. These days, it more often represents consumer fatigue than it does the most beautiful piece of music ever recorded, as critics have regarded God Only Knows. I mean, I really wish I could hear God Only Knows for the first time again. Where were you when you heard it for the first time? I feel the same way about the crucifixion. I'm not a cradle Episcopalian, but I am a child of the church. And having grown up in a Christian environment, at times it seems impossible to hear the gospel with fresh ears. It doesn't sound so absurd that, quote, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again, end quote. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection is all too familiar to me, but it's safe to say that back then, no one saw it coming. Jesus talks very plainly about his death, yet Peter won't have any of it. The idea of God's Son being scorned, rejected, and crucified is too outlandish to accept. And who can blame Peter? Who can blame Peter? At this time, Jesus has healed the sick, he's performed miracles, and he's given groundbreaking sermons. And so he's earning this great deal of distinction in his society. He's a newsmaker. He's a celebrity to some. In his position, influential figures rise to power. No one, especially at the pinnacle of their career, just gives it up, just walks away, goes away. Nobody does that. Now, with 2,000 years to theologize and theorize about Jesus' life and his teachings and his death, one might assume that the more familiar we become with the story, the more we mature as Christians. And yet, if you look around, not much, if anything, has changed with the world. Although the gospel does manage to powerfully enter into our lives, we are still unable to fully grasp the message. On Friday at HEB, I also sell signs for this next season's round of flu shots. And sometimes I think that we have been vaccinated with a mild case of Christianity, which has protected us from catching the real disease. We can't help but delegate the gospel to grocery store Muzak. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, the gospel does not require our belief or conviction in order for it to be true. Unbelievable as it may be, Christ's death and resurrection happened. And God's abounding grace and God's abounding forgiveness are real. And today, like every Sunday, like every day, love and mercy are yours for the taking. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.